yeah. Good morning, Celebration Church. Come on, put your hands together. You're fired up. And to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Yes, my name is Pastor John Wyatt. I'm the family life pastor here at Celebration Church. And man, it's an honor and a privilege to be here to share God's word with you this morning. Pastor wanted to remind you that he will be back next week. He's going to close this series, Fam versus Wild, with a bang. It's going to be one that you do not want to miss. So we'll welcome him back next week. I just want to say it's always a pleasure and a privilege. I really thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to open up the word with y'all this morning. You're my church family. Come on, I may not know you yet, but I love you. Come on, whether you're here in the sanctuary, maybe in the annex, maybe you're online somewhere around planet Earth, come on, tuning in, listening to this podcast in the year 2038, I don't know. But man, it is a privilege to get to share the Word of God with you. And we're going to turn in our Bibles today to Genesis chapter 6, taking it back old school. Come on, man, we read this eons ago, like January, in our celebration Bible reading plan, but we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 6 today. And if you didn't get the message last week, I would encourage you to download it or grab it. Pastor challenged us with something that really stuck out to me. He said that God hasn't called us to fall in love. That God has called us to stay in love. We're here to remember this. God hasn't called us to fall in love. God has called us to stay in love. And I want to build upon that foundation this week with a message I've entitled, "It's All About Commitment." Say that with me. It's all about commitment. One more time. It's all about commitment. That's right. Some of you know that I am a surfer. I enjoy hitting the waves, yes, and I enjoy teaching surfing as well. That's something, just a little sidebar there, by the way. I'm going to be taking all your kids out surfing this summer. We've got a gigantic, ridiculous kids surf clinic scheduled for later on this summer, along with VBS and radical, ridiculous kids camps all summer long. Plug, plug. That's right. Find out more at your information center or when you pick up your children today at Celebration Kids. Don't leave church without them, all right? But or celebration.org or our Facebook page. That's enough of that. But I teach surfing, and I come up with these little phrases to help people understand, if you've never surfed before, to help what will take you from just experimenting with surfing, experiencing it for the first time, just testing the waters, to becoming a full-blown, full-on surfer. And you have to learn how to say full-on if you're going to be a surfer. To go from just trying surfing or maybe giving it a test drive, but to actually becoming a surfer. To go from riding waves in the knee-high Jacksonville range, like somewhere in here, to riding double overhead Chopu Tahiti reef drainers that sledge and destroy. There's one thing that it takes to go from being this guy to this guy, right? It's all about commitment. One more time. It's all about commitment. This guy, not so committed to surfing. This guy, fully committed to surfing. It is all about commitment. And what I found is this translates pretty well, not just into surfing, but also into life. Commitment can change your life. It really can. Think about the things that you've gone through where you've been very committed. Think about what it takes to get a college degree, the effort that it takes, the countless hours, the commitment that it takes to complete that, maybe a project or an assignment you're working on. Maybe you are a business person. Think about the commitment that it takes to launch a new business, to get something like that started. Think about, from a family perspective, the kind of energy, the kind of commitment that it takes to have a great, vibrant marriage and to have kids that love Jesus and to raise them up in the way they should go. Man, this takes a lot of commitment. It's all about commitment. But these things, if you're committed to them, man, change your whole life will be very different as a result of your commitment. Commitment can also help you overcome some of life's obstacles, many of life's obstacles, in fact. I think about this card that I got from my wife for one of our anniversaries, and it's got a picture. I think we've actually got a picture of it. It's got a picture of two kids on a tricycle. There we are. Come on, that's me driving. Come on, wife, clinging to the back, both laughing. Come on, we're riding as fast as we can. We're going way over the posted speed limits. Oh, no, we're getting close to that cliff. Wah! I don't know, that's the kind of fun we have. But on the inside of the card, it's real cool. It says, "Together, we are unstoppable." Isn't that cool? Come on, I got an awe out of that one. Come on, man. Aw, that is cute. That was a good card. Good find, right, fellas? Man, you look at the cards, there's like 18 billion of them. I picked a gem. Man, "Together, we are unstoppable." And this has become like a rallying cry for Carrie and I. It really has. Whenever we're up against a tough challenge, a financial challenge, relational challenge, whatever it might be, and life brings our way, man, it's become our rally cry man, together we're unstoppable. We got this. Come on, it's you, me, and Jesus. If Jesus alone shows up, we got this. We're going to got the victory. Come on, put your hands together for God, man. Think about that. In your marriage, you're a cord of three strands. You got you, your spouse, and the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost is the only one that shows up, you got everything you need, man. We can blow it all day long. But at least we show up. Man, we're committed to God. We're committed to each other. That's carried us through a lot of the obstacles that we've had to face as a couple in marriage and parenting and just in life. Finally, though, about commitment, one thing I can say about it is that it will be tested. Your commitment will be tested daily. It's not something that, you know, it's a one-time decision and then you're done. Commitment is tested in our lives daily. Think about the wedding. The wedding's over in a day, all right? And then it's the marriage. And the marriage lasts a lifetime. The wedding, it's all about cake. It's all about dance. Come on, cake. Woo! Come on, I do a lot of weddings. I love weddings, man. They're all about cake, right? They're all about fun festivities. Come on, the vows, the rings. It's a big party. It's a celebration about two people entering into a covenant with God together. Woo-hoo! Guess what starts the next day? The marriage. The wedding's all about cake. The marriage is all about commitment. Come on, one more time. It's all about, you got it, man, you're with me. So if you're convinced that commitment is something powerful that we all need to look into God's word, what it says about being committed, how to be committed, how to commit your life to a God-first life, how to commit yourself, your heart, to your spouse, how to commit yourself to your kids, if you want to look at me, look in the scriptures with me, let me hear you say, oh yeah. Come on, man. We're going to dig in to Genesis chapter 6. Let's pray. Man, Father God, we love you. And we thank you that you were committed to us first before we were committed to you. You loved us before we loved you, Lord. You initiate all this. And man, we just thank you for it, God. Thank you for speaking to us today through the worship and through your word and just your presence in this place. As we open up your word, I just pray that you'd speak directly to our hearts, that it wouldn't be me up here speaking, but the Holy Spirit would give each person exactly what they need to hear from this message from your word today, God. And may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight as I deliver your word to your people, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, well, there's a couple ways we'll go about this today. We're going to pull a couple of scriptures from the New Testament, but we're actually going to do a little character study to find out how it can be all about commitment. We're going to look at somebody that I think is maybe the epitome of commitment. We read about him several months ago. His name is Noah, Genesis chapter 6. Now, Pastor spoke at length about Noah, really unpacked some great stuff about it. I encourage you to get that too. Great teaching. Here's what I observed about Noah and about his commitment. Society during his time was very corrupt. All right, so Noah had no outside friends to encourage him and to help him along. Come on, no celebration church, no highest level worship, no pastor. Oh, yeah. He didn't even have surfboards back then. I don't think he had anything to keep him going, man. He just had the Lord. That was it, and that was enough. Noah was instructed to build an ark, something that not only he had never done before, but this has never been done before on planet Earth. You ever felt like that? Like your calling from God is something that's so big, it's never been done before? Come on, those are great callings. Everybody wants one until you get it. Noah got it, right? It had never before rained on Earth, so the possibility of a flood seemed completely ridiculous and illogical. Has God ever called you to do something that to the outsider just seems completely ridiculous and illogical? Come on, man, Noah. With no evidence of water, he gathered every kind of animal to board the ark. I think about that in the scripture as the narrative plays out. It tells how God gives him a seven-day warning. He's like, man, I'm going to send that rain in 7 days. Get all the animals on board the ark. And God sends all these animals to Noah. He places them on board the ark, gets them all ready in place, and then stands there at the door like crickets. Come on, man. He was a man of faith. He did all of these things by faith, believing that God had spoke to him to do these great things. And finally, the ark took several decades to build. Noah was very likely ridiculed. Come on, y'all have seen Evan Almighty. You know how this plays out. The townspeople do not like the man with the boat, the man with the beard. No, I'm just kidding, man. You may not even seen Evan Almighty. Sorry, I'm in kids' world. But think about a time in your life where God has called you to something that to the outsider might just seem ridiculous. When God calls you to something in your prayer closet, it's one thing. I mean, we commit to things, we commit to prayer, we commit to, you know, a personal change, whatever it might be. Think about a time when God has called you to a public walk of faith, to demonstrate your faith publicly. What happens? It opens you up for ridicule. It opens you up for judgment. It opens up for every sort of opinion. Everybody's going to try to talk you out of it because it makes absolutely no sense. Come on, Noah went through this on the highest level. He was a man of great commitment. We're going to pull out of his story five ways, a simple strategy, five ways to stay committed. I know there's probably 1,000 ways, but I'm going to give you five this morning. If you're with me, say, it's all about commitment. It's all about commitment. Here we go. First way to stay committed, be single-minded. Be single-minded. In Genesis chapter 6, I'm not going to read through the whole narrative. It's several chapters of Old Testament narrative here. You can read this in their quiet time there this week if you want a refresher. But I'm going to pull out some of the scriptures here for you. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Man, how hard must this have been for Noah to keep his commitment to God, to stay faithful and true to the calling and the purpose of God on his life in a wicked and depraved generation. That's what the Bible says. It was wicked beyond belief, brought judgment from God. It was so bad. Well, no. How hard is it for you? Come on, we live in a wicked and depraved generation as well. The scripture says that to us as Christians in 1 Corinthians, it says that no temptation has seized us except which is common to man. The same temptations that seize us today are the same temptations that Noah struggled with. Same temptations, for that matter, that Jesus struggled with when he walked the earth. Pride, lust, greed, envy. These things have been around forever. Forever. These things have been around forever. And we've had the same struggles. And so we can learn from how Noah keeps his commitment. He stays single-minded. He stays blameless among the people of his time. I want to encourage you today. If you're a youth, come on, I'll see some of our youth. Represent. What? I see some young people in this service, right? Young people, sub 30, you guys here? Anybody? Some of the young people, young married couples? A few of you guys, not many. I thought for sure they'll be here at the 6. It was like crickets again at the 9:30 for that one. I'm like, oh, never mind. They'll be here later. But for you young people, young married, young single people, maybe you're young, new in the Lord. Maybe you've only been following Jesus for a short time. I want to encourage you today that here's my experience with this, is that the longer I've stayed single-minded for God, focused on the Lord throughout my life, it's actually gotten easier to follow Jesus as time has gone on. When I first got saved, it was tough, man. It was rough. I had all these decisions to make, choices to make, friends to leave, habits to break, all kinds of ridiculous things that were kind of holding me back into the world. When I made that decision to follow Christ, I had to leave it all behind. It was a tough season. You've been through it. Most likely, if you became a Christian later on in life as an adult, you weren't born saved. You know, you went through some changes when you gave your life to the Lord for real. And it can be very challenging. And here's what I've found is that as life has gone on, my options have pretty much gone away because I've totally put all my eggs in Jesus' basket. For 15 years, I've been following the Lord in every area. In finances, we've tithed since day one. We're just tithed. I've lived on 90% so long, I don't know what 100% looks like. I don't even think about it anymore. It seemed big at first. I'm like, tithe, man, oh my goodness, 10%. Wow, that's what I'm spending on cigarettes. You didn't know that about Pastor John, did you? No, man, but I looked at what I was spending, 10%. Wow, man, that's amazing. I can't even imagine giving 10% of our income. Now it ain't so much. I mean, it's just normal. It's just, this is how we do. That part belongs to God. We return it to him, and he blesses the 90 way beyond what we could do with that extra 10. Giving is another area. Giving was very hard at first, right? Giving from that 90%, like being generous. I was a pretty stingy guy, to be real honest. I wasn't really all that generous with the money that I had. I wanted to spend it on this guy, right? I want to spend it on myself. I don't want to give it away to somebody else. Well, God had to break that off me. And one of the things he did was, you know, the people on the side of the road that you see with the sign, you know, you pull up at an intersection, there's a guy with the sign, you know, homeless, hungry, please help. God bless. You've seen him. And, I'd pull up and I'd just argue with the Holy Spirit. I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to give him anything, man. That guy, man, he might, who knows what he'll spend it on. And, you know, man, I just don't want to. The Holy Spirit's like, come on, pony up the cash. Let's go. I'm like, no, man, no, I don't want to. Who knows? I can't. I follow the Lord on that. And I don't know where you're at with it, you know, let the Lord lead you, whatever. But I finally gave in and I found out it's actually pretty fun, like giving away money. Can anybody testify that once you start giving, it gets like easier? Come on, praise the Lord. Once you break through that barrier and you start giving generously, man, it becomes like super fun. And what I found is that as I got older, now all of a sudden, instead of me handing that money out the window, I handed over my shoulder to my daughters. My daughters roll down the window and they give the money to the man there. And we talk to him. We're like, hey, man, how's it going? What's your name? Oh, my name's Tim. And I'm like, Tim, what's going on with you? What happened to you? Oh, well, I'm a fisherman and my boat got repossessed and I can't make a living. I lost my home. I lost everything. I'm like, man, dude, we'll pray for you. You know, this is, you know, man, we're so sorry. I believe Jesus can make a difference. So we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for your situation to change. We'll tell them that. You only have a few seconds at the light, you know, before the light changes. But we tell them that. Say the name of Jesus. God is going to help you. Not God, but Jesus is going to help you. I always throw out the name of Jesus out there. And sure enough, man, this has made a difference in my life as I've been committed to the Lord, because now my kids are holding me accountable. I pull up to the light. They're like, Daddy, can we give him some money? I want to pray for him. I'm like, all right, yeah. Easy now. Easy. And sure enough, man, my kids at night when we pray, they always remember. Like I say, we're going to pray for them. My kids always remember. We want to pray for downtown Evan, and Lord bless Shoeless Mike, and bless Marsh Brian, the guy that came out of the marsh that we don't know where he came from, and bless Tim, the fisherman, and bless the guy with no thumb. Bless, that was a good one. Oh my goodness, that was a good one. Hand of the money, man, he didn't have a thumb. It was like Deadliest Catch or something. He'd lost his thumb. I'm like, oh my goodness. But yeah, they remember every night to pray. It's made it easier and easier to be generous with my giving, because now my whole family does it. It's not just me. So let me encourage you with that. As a young person, it's hard. You got all kinds of different choices to make. But once you settle and establish in your heart, man, Jesus is going to be Lord of my life. He's going to be Lord of my finances. I'm not going to go to the beach. I'm going to church. I'm not going to give all my money away to drugs and alcohol. I'm going to give my money to the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord with my finances. I'm not going to let my marriage be governed by the laws of statistics. I'm going to let my marriage be governed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? The longer you do it, the easier it's gotten for me, because honestly, man, I ain't got no other choice. Well, man, here we go. My next few points are not going to be as long, so bear with me. We just got a few more minutes together. Here we go. Second part of the strategy. Second point, focus on choices, not conditions. Focus on choices, not conditions. This will help you stay committed if you focus on your choices, not on conditions. Noah did not let the circumstances of his life dictate his choices. He did not let the circumstances of his life dictate his choices. It says here in chapter 6, verse 22, that Noah did everything just as the Lord commanded him. Noah did everything just as the Lord commanded him. How about that? How would you like that to be said about your life? John did everything just as the Lord commanded him. Wow, that's powerful. You know what that took on Noah's part? He couldn't respond and react to circumstances. He had to stay focused on doing exactly what the Lord commanded him. He couldn't try to change his environment or try to, man, God, that calling's too big. I don't want that. Man, God, are you sure you want to do this? He didn't look to the left or right. He stayed focused right on God. He did everything exactly as the Lord commanded him. We tend to try to insulate ourselves from circumstances which are out of our control. We try to educate our kids. We wanted to make lots of money and support themselves and then support us when we get older and, man, build up a nest egg and have a cushion and some margin in our finances. And then tornadoes roll through town and devastate a whole community, and everything's gone, including loved ones, all the possessions you've saved and worked for, heirlooms, treasures. It can happen in an instant, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing. Those circumstances are out of our control. I really felt like as I was preparing for this message, is another one that's out of your control as a parent. Maybe some of you in here today, you've got a wayward son or a daughter, a prodigal son or a daughter that, man, you raise them up in the way that they should go. You train them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, like the scripture says to you. And for whatever reason, God saw that they would need to go through a season where they would walk away for a short time. I felt like I really wanted to share this, like the Lord put this on my heart to share with you. If you're here today and that's you, that God is going to bring them home. They're in a season. It's not forever. That son or that daughter, they are in a season. Seasons come to an end. The word of the Lord says that it does not go out and come back stamped void. It accomplishes everything that God intends for it to accomplish. And the word says that your son or daughter you raised in the fear and admonition of the Lord says that when they're older, they will not depart from it. Period. End of story. End of sentence. Come on, man. Put your hands together for God. That's right, man. It's not forever. They're not going to wander forever. God's going to reel them back at the perfect time. All right, your son or daughter will get back. Here's what you can't do is you can't control those circumstances. You did everything you could. You raised them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, prayed for them, surrounded them with role models and good people in their lives. God will bring them back at the right time. You stay focused on doing exactly what the Lord has called you to do, and let Him worry about the circumstances that are going to bring your son or your daughter back. Amen? All right, third point right here. Third way to stay committed in our strategy. Expect commitment to be a struggle. Expect commitment to be a struggle. We're going to flip forward into the red letters here for this one. What, Jesus? John chapter 16. I just wanted to pull some of Jesus' words in here too as we look at Noah. But in John chapter 16, this is the upper room discourse. This is Jesus teaching his disciples on the night that he's about to be betrayed. And he says to his disciples, he says in chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Come on, man. In this world you will have trouble. This is a famous verse. We all know it. Pastor taught about it in the Take Heart series. In this world you will have trouble. I think a lot of times we can think that if we're a Christian and we're encountering trials or trouble, that it's because we're doing something wrong. Right? That's not true. In this world, you will have trouble. He's speaking to his disciples. He's not speaking to lost people or people far from God. He's speaking to his disciples, his followers. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. It's trouble to follow Jesus. It's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. It opens us up to a whole world of persecution and opportunities for failure. It's challenging. The original disciples were all martyred for the faith or exiled onto the island of Patmos like John here. All right, they suffered greatly for their faith. It's tough to be a Christian. But here's what I know about it. It's better to suffer in the trials of life as a Christian than to suffer in the trials of life not a Christian. Why? Because we're going to heaven. Eventually, it's going to get better. All right, eventually, this life will come to an end, and we will spend all of eternity right there, just like we sing that song, No More Bad Stuff. Love that song, No More Bad Stuff. I promised I wouldn't sing. Sorry. Hey, heaven is coming, all right? In the meantime, we're going to suffer trials. And we set ourselves up for a fail in commitment when our expectation is, oh, because I'm a Christian, life's going to be easy. Man, that's tough. And a lot of times we can bait and switch with people that we lead to the Lord as well. You got to be careful. When somebody's in a trial and we're like, oh, you need to get your life right with God. You need to get saved because everything will be easy. No, it won't. It's going to get harder. You might get thrown out of your family or persecuted, condemned for your faith. It's going to be hard. But the good news is, the trials that you face, the troubles in life, when you go through with Jesus, man, together, we're unstoppable. You're going to continue through those trials, and you're going to see the other side of the valley. I know how God promises us when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Psalm 23, famous scripture again, go through that valley. It says he'll be with us. He doesn't say he'll watch from afar and kind of look over us. He says he will be with us in the valleys, in the trials, and the troubles of life. That's our God. That's our God. So it's better to go through with commitment to our God through the tough challenges that we have to face. To stay committed, expect that it's going to be a challenge. That way you can prepare yourself for those trials when they come. Still with me? Only a couple more points, man. We're almost finished. You've been a great crowd, great crowd. Don't forget to tip your baristas on the way out. Just kidding. All right, fourth point. Here we go. Do what's right, even when you don't feel like it. Here's how we stay committed, man. Do what's right, even when we don't feel like it. Here's something I found in Noah's account as I was reading through it. I'd never noticed this before. It said throughout Noah's struggle, throughout the building of the ark and the flood and the floodwaters receding all the way until the time that God establishes his covenant with Noah, throughout that entire time, there is not a word recorded in Scripture that Noah says. He doesn't say anything. There's nothing recorded. I'm sure he talked to his builders and he talked to his family and he gave instructions. I'm sure he could talk because we find out afterwards, like, he falls into sin. And the first thing that's recorded in the Bible that he said is, cursed be you, Canaan, my grandson. It calls out curses and fire on his family. So pointed out that one scripture where it says that even a fool appears wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Life verse. This guy right here, man. If you see me not saying anything, yeah, man, that's it, man, trying to appear wise. But no word that he spoke is recorded throughout that entire time. And you combine that now with the New Testament verse out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, where Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Now you got a powerful tool in the strategy to stay committed. How about that? Noah suffered well, man. He made it through that trial and completed the call of God on his life. He didn't say a word. That was recorded in Scripture, right? Paul encourages us as Christians that we should do the same. Because I'll tell you what, it goes on to say in verse 15 of that, of Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it goes on to say that if we do everything without complaining or arguing, that we will shine like stars in the universe. Just like if you look up at the dark black night sky and you see points of light that are stars, they're so different from the rest of the sky. That's what it's like when we walk out our faith without complaining or arguing. Is that powerful? Come on, and let me interject this. Nothing gets people's eyes off of the power and the glory and the majesty of God like a whiny, complainy Christian. Ooh, how's I got an ouch out of that? Ooh, I'm telling you, man, I won't act out the scenarios, but you've seen it before, man. It's tough. On the other hand, nothing magnifies and focuses the true power of God like a Christian who knows their identity in Christ, who knows the power of the God that they serve, the power and the majesty and the glory of the God that they belong to, who know that they're going to spend eternity in heaven with him, to know that through him, all things are possible. A Christian that knows that, that's fully committed to the Lord and to the power of their God, I'll tell you what, man, we can take nations. People take notice of that stuff. They're like, something's different about this guy. What is it? It's Jesus. Jesus, the almighty, all-powerful, infinite ruler of everything, is the Lord of my life. That's how I get it done. People notice that stuff. That stands out like stars in the night sky. Let me encourage you with this. We need to stay committed as a church. We need to stay committed because when we do, the whole world takes note. The whole world will see. Finally, I'll finish with this final point. Finish what you start. Finish what you start. Back to Noah to wrap it up in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Chapter 8, verse 20. This is after the floodwaters recede. Noah comes out of the ark with his family. In verse 20, it says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it." How about that? Noah comes out of his trial, he perseveres all the way through the calling of God on his life to see it through to fruition. And the first thing he does is lead his family in worship. That's a beautiful picture. Let me say this about finishing well. There's excuses and there's explanations. There's excuses and there's explanations. Explanations are when you explain, there's additional data or details that you need to explain that are going to help change the goal of where you're headed. Maybe we need to reevaluate things because there's an explanation as to why. The difference between an explanation and an excuse, excuses are just reasons why we couldn't keep our commitments. Excuses are just reasons why we couldn't keep our commitments. Come on, Celebration Church, as men and women of God, as people of faith in the Lord Jesus, let's be people who are marked not by excuses, but who are marked by commitment. Amen? Come on, let's bow our heads together. Come on, yeah, put your hands together for God. And he's awesome. And let's bow our heads together. Don't leave is a super important time of our service coming up here. We've got a couple more things to settle with the Lord. And together we're unstoppable, Celebration Church. Come on, you can do it. I'm an encourager, and I just want to encourage you today. If you're here today and you're struggling with commitment, man, I want to encourage you. You can do it. You can do it. You can stay committed to God, committed to your kids, committed to your calling. Jesus is enough, man. Jesus is enough. You can do it. I want you to take this time there in your seat just as the band comes up, and as we take some time to pray here, I want you to think about, what is God saying to you? You know, what commitment do you need to reevaluate? What commitment do you need to stand by? Commitment to your family, a commitment to your kids, to your marriage, maybe to your job, maybe to a loved one. Whatever it is, just take a moment to ask God what he's saying to you about this. Man, if you're hearing from the Lord, if this message was for you and he's speaking something to you, I just want you to identify that to the Lord. Just say, "That's me, Lord. I hear you," by raising a hand. Nobody's looking around. Come on, hands up everywhere. That's me too. This message is always for me before it's for you. Amen. You can put them down. Come on, we're people of commitment, not excuses. Let me ask this, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you need to make a commitment to Jesus, you've never done that before, you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, let me tell you, the Bible says that our default situation, our default scenario for eternity is to be separated from God by sin. That's who we are. It's how we're born. There's nothing we can do about it. By default, we're separated from God, and if we don't do something about it, when we die, we'll be separated from God forever. But the good news is that God so loved the world. You can put your own name in there. For God so loved John, whatever your name is. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. When we put our faith in Jesus, when we give our life to him, he wipes our sins away as far as the east is from the west. He remembers our sin no more and will never be separated from him again. So today, if you're here and you need to make a commitment, either for the first time or maybe you want to recommit your life to Christ, if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. This is between you and God. This is the real deal right here. This is all eternity hanging in the balance. On the count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see you. Amen. Amen. Keep them up. Come on. This is for God. This is all of eternity. Amen. You can put your hands down. So excited for you. If you lifted your hand, or even if you didn't, I want to lead you in a prayer, and whole church, we're going to pray this together. But I want you to pray this prayer after me. And the Bible says that when you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he was, that God raised him from the dead, and when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's powerful, so that's why we pray this prayer. Why don't you repeat this after me? Church, let's help him along. Dear Jesus, I trust you. I give my life to you. Forgive my sins. And fill me with your spirit so I can follow you forever. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, man. Put your hands together, man. Woo! Some people, brand new believers in the house. So excited for you. The Bible says that there's a party going on in heaven right now for you. Now listen, again, don't leave. We're about to have a little response time here. This is a time to get up close and personal with God and really dig into what he's speaking to you through his word today. So Pastor David's going to come up and take us into this time.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.